And for those who this is the first time, do we have a revelation chart ready? Okay. Would you keep your hands up? If you don't have this revelation chart, keep your hands up, please, so we can give it to you. This revelation chart is chronological order that you will find. All the verses made in chronological order. From the chapter 1 to chapter 12. Okay? This will help you to understand the sequence, the event happening. Now, put that thing away, please. Put that thing away. Otherwise, you're going to read it, you're going to miss the point. Okay, let's start. The most feared concept in majority of people's mind is what? Huh? What is it?
Public speaking.
Some people will agree with that. No, it's a death. A lot of people don't even want to talk about death. Guess what? You and I are going to die if the Lord tarries. There's two inescapable aspects that we cannot avoid. What are they? We all know. Tax and death. However, death does not get worse each time Congress meet. So there's a good point about death. Statistics about death is quite impressive. One out of one person die. So far, we have two people have not died. Do you know who they are? Two people have not died. Enoch and Elijah. Elijah, not Elisha. All right, those two people will not die. However, if the Lord come to us right now for the rapture, guess what? A lot of people in this room, those who are born again Christian, will leave this place immediately. And we will not taste the death. And we will not find what it's like to be dead. And as a matter of fact, one person said, we will cheat death. Generally, people don't want to talk about death. And I did a few funerals. It is one of the most somber moments that people will go through. And actually, during the funeral time, I do the little sharing, and people actually listen. How about that? And they take this very seriously because they don't, whether that person believed that, you know, reincarnation garbage or not, this is an unknown future. So they tend to take the death seriously. Death is a final, death is irreversible, and death changes everything. For those person, the person who is dead and the people around. Let's have a word of prayer before we go. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word about to receive. Because of you, Jesus Christ, give us this grace, give us mercy, because we are born again. By your goodness, by your righteousness, by your holiness, we don't have to face the death. And even the death, there's no sting. We thank you. As we open our heart to receive your word, that we are going to see what the people on earth during the great tribulation they will face, we are doubly grateful that you gave us eternal life in Christ Jesus. Teach us and learn us from what you want us to learn from this word. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 9 of Revelation, please. Revelation is located way in the back of the last book of the Bible. If you went to the concordance, you went too far. Chapter 9, verse 1. Then the fifth angel sounded, I saw a star on the line, star fallen from heaven to the earth. To him was given the key to the bottomless pit. On the line, bottomless pit, please. If I can choose a few chapters from the book of Revelation, the most difficult chapters, it would be this chapter, chapter 9, and chapter 17, and chapter 18. Why? Because there's a lot of symbols, there's a lot of things that we are not familiar with. Sometimes that's the reason why the people wake out about the studying the Word of God, especially the Revelation. First, the four seals that we learned, and the first four trumpets we learned last week, are against the earth. First four seals, starting with the tyranny, and the war, and the famine, and the death. And first four trumpets was ecological disaster against the earth, starting with the vegetation damage, and the sea, and the fresh water, and the sky. And the last three seals that happen is that happen in heaven. And the cry of the martyrs happen in the fifth seal. And at the sixth seal, cosmic disturbance. And seventh seal is the heavenly prelude for the seven trumpets. These seven trumpets that we, three trumpets we are going to find that is talking about hell in terms of demonic things. I actually underlined that a star falling from heaven. What would that be? It's none other than Satan himself. Satan, he was one of the archangels in heaven. He was in charge of the worship of God. However, one day he looked at himself and he said, "Whoa, and I look gorgeous." And he kissed himself and he said, "Okay." And he put his pride before him and he wanted to be like, exalted like God himself, Almighty God. So he got kicked out with one third of angels. You will find that in Isaiah chapter 14, Ezekiel 28, and Revelation 12. As we study, we will find out more about them. Some of the demons push their limit. In some of our term, push their envelope a little too far. So they got kicked. They got thrown into this bottomless pit known as Abyss. In 1989, James Cameron, the director, made a movie called Abyss. That has nothing to do with true meaning of the Abyss. This movie talks about, I read the article, plot. It says it's something to do with alien, aquatic alien. What's that got to do with the demonic beings inside in the bottomless pit? Nothing. But what do you expect from the ignorant movie makers and from the Hollywood? Let's go to Jude verse 6, please. Jude is right before the Revelation, Jude 6. If you found Jude chapter 2, you're in the wrong book. Jude 6, please. And the angels who did not keep their proper domain but left their abode, God has reserved the everlasting chain under the darkness for the judgment of the great day. See, what it says is exactly what I said before. Some of the demons didn't stay in the proper domain, and so they got kicked into this abyss. Satan does not have a complete authority. Again, Hollywood movie trying to portray that God struggle against the Satan. God never struggled against Satan. God is the creator, and Satan is a created being. If God says, "Satan, you are no more," then he will not exist anymore. However, God allows the Satan to have a limited authority over us because we are sinful human beings. Let's go back to the chapter 9 of verse 2 in Revelation. And he opened the bottomless pit, and smoke arose out of the pit like a smoke of the great furnace. So the sun and the air were darkened because of the smoke of the pit. Then out of the smoke the locusts came upon the earth, and to them was given power, as the scorpion of the earth has power. They were commanded not to harm the grass of the earth, or any green things, or any tree, but only those men who do not have a seal of God, underline seal of God, please, on their forehead. Verse 5. And they were, underline next phrase, please. And they were not given authority to kill, but torment them for 5 months. Their torment was like the torment of the scorpion that strikes a man. In those days, men will seek death and will not find it, and they will desire to die. Death will flee from them. Can you imagine what it's like to have all these ferocious and worse demons released from the bottomless pit. Let me make a quick example. I know we have a couple of the law enforcement officers in this congregation. They will shudder the idea of this kind of thing. Let's say all the prison inmates across America got released, including all the death row inmates, with no limitation, no leg brace, no nothing. And they can do whatever they want to do. What do you think that would be? I would call it chaos. But to compare with all these demons released from the bottomless pit, it's nothing. Educated people, and some of you guys are thinking that, do you actually believe demons? Yes, I do. If I believe there's a God, Almighty God, who created heaven and earth and everything in between, and there's angels, I believe there's demons. As I said before, demons are nothing more than fallen angels. They have the power of angels. They have awesome capability, but their capability is limited by God. What they can do is should be permitted by God. Otherwise, they cannot do a thing. One time, I shared this to somebody, and I think some of you guys remember that too. I'm invincible. And some of you think, yeah, right. I'm invincible. I will not die until God says I'm dead. Until it's my time, I will not die, no matter what. No matter what devil wants to do, I will not die. If I step into the I-19, and when the semi-truck is coming, and then see what happens, yeah, I'll die. That's what we call stupidity. And you won't feel sorry for me. You will say, that idiot. And I deserve that. But unless God says it's time for me to die, I will not die. And unless God says okay to demons, all right, you can torment him or torment her, we will not be tormented by him. Because they have to have permission from God. Does it mean God allowed the bad things to happen to us? Yes. For what? To make us be more like Jesus Christ. It's a difficult concept. If I may put the thing in a different situation, let me put it this way. Would you give hot dog, ice cream, candy bars to your kid all the time? As they want, anything they want. And some of you teenagers say, oh yeah, pizza, hot dog, Pepsi, Coke, whatever. The things that I want. It's not good for you. That's why we don't give that kind of thing. So we give them broccoli, liver. Ooh, that sounds awful, huh? We give them something good for their body. They may not like it, but we recommend them to eat it. Or we tell them to sit on the table until they finish that thing. Why? Because we know better than them. Our Father in heaven knows better than us to give us the right thing. Sometimes it may not please us, but it is important for us to have. Educated people will say you are idiot for you to believe that demons existing. The demons are nothing more than phobia or psychological imbalance or fear. No, demons are very real. As you and I can breathe, demons are real. Let's go to chapter 6 of Ephesians, verse 12. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. If you're not familiar with the Calvary Chapel, you're wondering why you're going back and forth in the Bible. The Word of God is true, and we get the instruction from the Word of God, and this is how we get the instruction, by cross-referencing. Chapter 6, verse 12 of Ephesians. For we do not wrestle against the flesh and blood, but against the principality and against the powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against the spiritual host of the wickedness in heavenly places. They are demons. They are existing. God allows demonic hordes previously imprisoned to ascend to the earth like a locust. Have you ever been in the place where the locusts passed through? I've never been, but I saw the situation. Nothing left. Literally nothing left. They eat everything in the sight. It's still prevailing in the Africa or some portion of the Asia. These people, 144,000, I asked you on the line, the seal of God, those the 144,000 people, 12,000 people from each tribe of Israel, are sealed with God's seal on their forehead. They will not be touched by this locust, or known as the demons, the worst demons. They are protected. However, no other people will be protected. Everybody on this earth will be hurt by them. Scorpion does not have a fatal poison. It will hurt a lot of people. I heard that one person got stung by the scorpion and they are hurting, but they are not dying yet. These people will go through a lot of pain, but the death is not imminent for them. In verse 5, the powerful demon had the limited power. We find they are allowed to kill, they are allowed to hurt the people, but they are not allowed to kill people. They are not allowed to touch the green things. And obviously, they are controlled and governed by God. And what's the idea of all of this? Torment. This torment is to bring those people to repentance. That's the purpose. If you are going through a difficult time and you don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, God is tugging your heart. Come to know Him. Does it mean that your problem will be gone right away? No. I can tell you pretty much this. You will go through more trials. Then what's the good reason for me to come to know Jesus Christ? You'll be out of hell? That's a good reason. You'll get out of the hottest sin in the hell. So if you don't know Jesus Christ, that's a good reason. One of the good reasons to come to know Jesus. Torment people wants to die. However, that is not an option for them. Even if they had the option to die, listen carefully, please. It's nothing more than jumping out from the frying pan to the eternal fire. Why? Because those people who are not born-again Christian will go to hell. I'm not going to make this sugar-coated. You never thought I would be a sugar-coated person anyway. So those who don't have Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in your heart, will go to hell. It's bottom line. Before we go any further, I need to talk to you about a couple of things. Number one, suicide. Some of you guys are thinking, what if the born-again Christian commits suicide? Would that person go to hell? Some of the denominations teach that that person did an unpardonable sin and that person will go to hell. In my Bible, does not say anything about that's unpardonable sin. Only sin that is unpardonable is blaspheming the Holy Spirit, which means denying the Jesus Christ. If that person commits suicide, yes, that's a sin, and that sin is no different than your sin and my sin. So if the born-again Christian commits suicide, that person will go to heaven. That's what I believe. I can back it up by the Word of God. And I don't care what the denomination says. The Word of God has a final authority. If you're considering suicide for whatever the reason is, you know, by looking at you, you look good. And it doesn't look like you're going through any difficult time. But some of you in your heart might go through a difficult time. And some of you are thinking, it's not worth living. If you're thinking that, if you're thinking suicide is an option, please, don't. You're making a mistake. Suicide is not a way for a Christian or non-Christian alike. Once you make up your mind and act upon it, you cannot change it. As I said, it's final, it's irreversible, it cannot be changed. I cannot say the other word. Young people, listen carefully. A lot of your teenagers go through that difficult time. We have a few teenagers in this room. The things you have to go through in the school, the things you have to go through in the home. You know what? I cannot even comprehend. I don't know what you go through at home or what you go through in school. In a few years from now, you'll chuckle at it. How do I know? Once in a million years ago, I was a high school kid too. You're going through is not the only thing that you have to go through. There will be more. But this is a promise from God. Listen carefully, please. God will not give you more than what you can bear. If there is more than what you can bear, He will even give you the way to get out. First of all, He will not give you more than what you can bear, and He will give you the way to get out. Turn your Bible with me to Matthew chapter 19, please. Matthew 19, verse 26. 19:26. It says, "But Jesus looked at them and said to them, 'With man this is impossible, but with God all things are possible.'" If you are in Christ Jesus, all things are possible. So don't think that what you're facing is impossible. Give it to God. One more verse. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Some of you guys know this by heart. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Philippians right before Colossians, right after Ephesians in New Testament. Philippians 4, 13. 4, 13. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." If you are playing in your heart that suicide is one of the options because everything is so dark, talk to me. Come talk to me, okay? Don't do it. It's not worth it. The life you're living in is given by God. And you don't have authority to take it away. I'm going to talk to you another thing. Euthanasia. For about a few years, I'm sure some of you guys remember Jack Kevorkian. How many of you guys remember him? Dr. Death. This guy has been assisting suicide for those who are terminally ill. And he tried to portray himself as a man of compassion. And he tried to convince people, you don't have to stay in coma or you don't have to remain as a vegetable. So to give them the dignified death, he assists them to commit suicide. And also, he had a view. This is a strong view he made known to everyone. He had a view that the organ of those dead people should be sold to the highest bidder. Because of that view, he lost his medical license, and he deserved it. From the early 1990 until he got arrested, he assisted 130 people to commit suicide. When the autopsy was done, there were 24 people did not have a terminal illness. And three of them did not have any illness at all. The last leg, that pushed his envelope too far, he injected a lethal injection and he videotaped that thing and gave it to the nationwide network. ABC, CBS, and NBC broadcasted. He went too far. This is a quote from, I'm getting Judge Jessica Cooper sentencing Kevorkian from 10 years to 25 years in prison, April 1999. "You had the audacity to go on national television, show the world what you did, and dare the legal system to stop you. Well, sir, consider yourself stopped." Now he is serving time in jail. I don't know which jail. Hear me, please. Euthanasia and suicide both are wrong in God's eyes. Why? Because God is the one who determines how long we are going to live. I have a mother who is 91 years old. She's become 92. And she has a lot of illness, and she's lonely. And every time I talk with her, every 3 days I talk with her, on the phone, she says one thing, I want to die. That's her wish. And she asked me to pray that I die early. I die soon. I said, that's not something I can do for you, Mom. It's up to God. Job chapter 14, please. Job is right before the Psalm in the Old Testament. Job chapter 14, verse 5. Job chapter 14, please. Verse 5. Since his days are determined, the number of his months is with you. You have appointed his limit so that he cannot pass. God appointed a day for us to die. Death brings a clear and non-reversible decision. We cannot come back and say, oops. By the way, if you believe the reincarnation theory, you are deadly, deadly, deadly wrong. You don't come back for 100,000 times in an enlightened situation. Hebrews 9:27, you were to die once at the stand in front of God. You want to try come back? Try it. See what happened. You cannot come back. The Word of God tells the truth. I don't care what kinds of New Age concept you have and what kinds of Oriental philosophy you have. How do I know? What do I look like? Italian? I know that because I was raised with that concept, reincarnation theory. That's why in India they worship the bull, because bull is a god, and if you're good, you'll come back in that kind of situation. If you're bad, you'll come back in a little net. So that's why they're trying to be nice. Reincarnation is nothing but a hogwash, nothing but a garbage concept. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, please. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12. Proverbs right after Psalm. There is a way that seems right to the man, but it's the end way of the death. See, please. Suicide and euthanasia is not an option. You don't have authority, you don't have a power, you don't have a way to commit suicide. It's God's time. Until then, we have to live in fullest, whether it's good in our eyes or not. Let me put it this way. Let's say we are strolling in the forest, and you found this little cocoon hanging on the tree, and it's moving. So you approach and you realize it's a baby fly trying to get out from the cocoon. You want to help it. It seems like it's struggling. It seems like it's going through a lot of pain. So you flip out your Swiss Army knife and clip the bottom of the cocoon so the baby butterfly can come out. Under the name of compassion, you are thinking that, well, I helped this baby fly. And baby fly flew drop down on the ground. And you thought, wow, now you don't have to struggle. Problem is, when you look at it carefully, that baby fly is dead on the ground. Why? While it's coming through that cocoon little hole, it's struggling, help the baby fly to strengthen its wings. So by the time it come out from the cocoon, it will be ready to fly. What you did, you thought you're helping that, you killed it. Same thing. Suicide, we're thinking that we are helping ourselves from one difficult time. But if you're a Christian, you don't have a power, authority to do that. If you're not a Christian, as I said before, you're jumping out from the frying pan into the eternal fire of damnation. Is it worth it to you? It's not. Let's go to the verse 7. The shape of the locust was like a horse prepared for battle. Horses prepared for battle. On their heads a crown of something like a gold, and their faces were like face of man, and they had a hair like a woman's hair, And their teeth are like a lion's teeth. Can you picture what this look like? I have no idea what that is. And they had a breastplate like a breastplate of iron, and the sound of their wings like a sound of chariots with many horses running into the battle. Verse 10. They had the tails like a scorpion, and there was sting in their tails. Their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had as a king over them an angel of the bottomless pit, whose name is in Hebrew is Abaddon. Underline Abaddon, please. But in Greek, he has a name, Apollyon. One word passed, behold, still two more words are coming after these things. There's been a lot of suggestion, a lot of speculation has been made. This description, some of people think that it's a helicopter gunship of the Antichrist. Have the buzzing wings and sound, and they kill people with the hellfire missiles and 30mm cannon in the front. It's a great weapon. I know Jack Leverty doesn't like it. This is my favorite gunship. Has awesome firepower. Tremendous firepower. Would that be the gunship? No. I believe this is the actual demonic forces. Why demonic forces swamp and try to destroy like a locust? Among the reason is, the way I look at it, is the locust has been used as God's agent for judgment. Often, you will find in Exodus chapter 10, verse 4 through 14, Deuteronomy 28, 38, 1 Kings 8, 37, 2 Chronicles 7, 13, Joel 1, 4, and Amos 4, 10, 4 9. Total impact of this destruction by this demonic force is a total awesome cruelty. Army followed the rules of Satan, the Abaddon or the Apollyon. This king of this demonic force is a destroyer. No matter what kind of language or culture you're coming from, he destroys things. He destroys people, he destroys things. True to his nature, in John 10:10, he come to destroy and steal and kill. That's what Jesus said. Let's go to verse 13. Then the six angels sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, and saying to the six angels who had the trumpet, release the four angels who are bound at the great river Euphrates. So the four angels who had prepared for the hours and the day and the month and year were released to kill the third mankind. Now the number of the army of the horsemen were 200 million. I heard the number of them. These four angels are apparently wicked angels. Why? Because if they are not wicked, they shouldn't be bound by the God. And they were in charge of the situation. They are using 200 million soldiers or the beings to destroy. By now, remember that chapter 6, we found four seals. At the four seals, we find one quarter of the people are killed. Let's say there are, as a guesstimation, 6.4 billion people on the face of the earth. If one quarter died, then that means 4.8 billion people survived. And by the time we go through another one-third, there will be 3.2 billion people survive. That means, folks, half of the world population is dead and killed. World map, please. See this? This is Asia. Here's Japan, here's Korea, here's China, and here's India. Out of these four countries, they can put together 200 million strong soldiers at no time. And these people will march through the next slide, one please. Middle East map. They will go through this area. This is the Euphrates River. This is the one separating them from any army that crossed to the Middle East. Now, this is the rather important area. This is the Iraq area. and that down here is Kuwait. Around that area is start of the civilization. First murder and first sin was occurred here. Okay, map is gone. Genesis 2 by Adam and Eve. And first murder was happened there in Genesis chapter 4 by Cain. And the first organized revolt, Tower of Babel, was happened against God in Genesis chapter 11. And first war, confederation happened in that area, Genesis chapter 14. And first dictatorship by Nimrod, who is the ancestor of Saddam Hussein, in Genesis chapter 10. It's all concentrated in that area. Let's go to the verse 17, please. And thus I saw the horses in vision, and those who sat on them had a breastplate of the fire red, cyanus blue, and the sulfur yellow. Ladies, I don't know if that matches with your clothing, but that's what they chose. And the heads of the horse were like the heads of the lions, and out of their mouths came the fire, smoke, and brimstone. By this three plagues, one third of mankind was killed by the fire and the smoke and brimstone which came out of their mouths. For their powers in their mouths and in their tails, and for their tails like a serpent having heads, and with them that they do harms. Verse 20, but the rest of mankind who were not killed by this plague, they did not repent the works of their hands, and they should not worship demons, and idols of gold, silver, brass, stone, and wood, which can neither see, nor hear, nor walk. And they did not repent their murders of the sorceries, underline sorceries, please, and or the sexual immorality, or their thefts. One would think that the combination of the 5 months' torment and then death from the fire, smoke, and brimstone would bring the people to their knees for their repentance. This is not the case. In my opinion, the worst kind of thing is not the torment they are going through. The worst thing is they are not repenting. Just because judgment is happening, that doesn't mean people will repent. God wants them to see they are in the bad side, the wrong side of the barrel. However, they do not repent because they are ultimately wicked people. Idol worship is directly connected with the demon worship. Sexual immorality and theft, and that will continue to go on during this time. Sorceries, I ask you on the line. Sorceries in Greek word pharmakeia. We get the word pharmacia. Pharmacy. That means it's a drug. During that time, people will use drugs, narcotics, without any control. Nowadays, we have a narcotic department in the police department. And we have a special unit in Mantis, multi-agency against the drug, narcotics things. We have that kind of force, but there'll be the time they won't have anything like that. Why? Because drug is the only way for them to bear through this judgment of God. Instead of repenting, they rather take drugs. They rather get high, and they rather cut themselves off from the reality. This is how wicked we are. Don't think that we would be different. If we haven't been saved by the grace of God, we would be in the same shoes as they are. Let's make our applications. Number one, we are created with a purpose from God. Let's glorify Him in our lives. Life that is given to you by God is precious in His sight. Don't try to take it by yourself. We are to live for Him in our lives with the word, with our action, with everything in us. Second application, if you're planning to do anything other than what the Lord commands you to do in the Bible, you're obeying demons. You're obeying the Satan. Stop it while you have a chance. What is the sexual immorality? or leaving your spouse, using drugs, pornography, drinking, whatever you want to call it. If it's not in the Bible that Jesus is telling us to do, and the apostle did, then you are going against God, and that means you're following the commands of the devil. Stop. The last one. If you stand for nothing, you will fall for anything. Let me repeat one more time. If you stand for nothing, you will fall for anything. That means if you stand up, if you don't stand up for what you believe in from the Word of God, you will hook into any cult, any doctrine garbage, including New Age movement. New Age movement is so sound spiritual because they call you God. You ain't God. There's only one God. Let's stand up and pray.